It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Well, thank you, Sam. Hello and welcome to the second funniest podcast. I am your host, Justin Worsham. This is episode number 452. With me, as always, is the one, the Barra, the Thriller in Manila, the Crispity, the Crunchity, the Miller Buttery, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump for a circle button, Kevin.
Are you hungry?
I am.
You always satisfy.
Yeah.
And other Snickers references. Peanut
Are those
butter,
both caramel. Mars? Does Mars make both Butterfinger and... No,
well,
this is Nestle.
Nestle right on the top there. So that,
well,
that
hold on. In
giveaway.
My defense, it was the horizon of the curve of Butterfinger.
It just says it, though, in pretty
I want to know how Bart Simpson got picked up as a spokesperson for Butterfinger.
Good question.
Right? That doesn't seem to be like... I guess he's yellow.
I think at the time... The Simpsons were pretty new, right? And so they were kind of on the fringe of stuff. And
they were newly popular.
And to have, like, to get a sponsor, like, to use them as a sponsor was kind of a big deal, I think.
I agree.
For both parties. Like, oh, you're cool, and
we
nobody eats
cool.
Butterfingers.
I do enjoy a good Butterfinger, though.
Do
right?
you really?
Oh, yeah.
How long have they been around? I've got to find that out.
I don't know. But I find that it's a candy bar that my favorite candy bar is the Fifth Avenue. I think that's common knowledge.
I thought you were 100 grand because you used to be that 100 grand.
No.
Oh, no, maybe I'm thinking.
I would pick 100 grand because 100 grand is the only good candy bar when the kid is coming door to door selling candy bars.
Right.
Because usually it's 100 grand, maybe a Twix situation with a Hershey, and if you're lucky, a Hershey with almond. But that's the only way I would go 100 grand. If I'm in a convenience store that has a full stock, if you would.
Yeah. And
Number one would be Fifth Avenue. Number two, coming in at a pretty close second. It's like a peanut butter. That's what I think. Peanut buttery with a Butterfinger. That's not very peanut butter. I think butterscotch when I think of a Butterfinger.
Ugh.
Doesn't it have a butterscotchy taste?
No, butterscotch
taste?
Is like for old people.
Yeah, I know, but it has a butterscotchy flavor.
No, it has like a peanut buttery flavor.
Crispity, you think, though? Crunchy.
Yeah.
Fifth
Bart
Avenue.
Bart Simpson-y buttery.
I used to have a real big allegiance to Hershey because they had a factory in my backyard of my hometown.
Dude, they are the cardboard creators of chocolate. Isn't there a documentary called How Hershey's Ruined Chocolate?
No.
I'm pretty sure
if it
there is.
It's wrong.
No,
it's delicious.
It is not
wrong. Fifth Avenue is the best candy bar out there, hands down.
No, the Hershey's company.
Have you bitten into a Fifth Avenue before we even start this?
Yes, I have.
And what did you feel when you bit into it?
That it was a shitty candy bar.
How dare you?
That it's like
How
filled
dare
with
you
fillers and it's
filth up this podcast that is for youngins. Number one,
listen,
number
they're
two,
in high school and they love it.
How dare you besmirch the good name of Fifth Avenue? That is the name of a clothing store that ladies in Manhattan love.
Is that why it's called that? They call that?
No.
Here's the thing, is that Hershey's, it uses nothing but fillers. Like, it's like 2% chocolate, 8% wool, 40%.
Why were fillers invented?
Textiles to stretch out the chocolate,
right?
So they don't have to pay as much,
and because they're delicious.
What filler is delicious?
Fifth Avenue filler?
No, I'm not talking about peanuts.
Nougat?
No, see all
is
that's,
that a filler?
That's all candy. I get that.
You're saying there's some kind of cow hoof in a Hershey bar.
I'm not saying there's some kind. I'm saying there is cow hoof.
You're saying I might taste a hint of pig intestine.
Yeah.
In my Hershey bar.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's worth it. If there's a little bit of pork grind in a Fifth Avenue, then bonus for me.
What year did the Butterfinger come out?
1957.
Lower.
1932.
Lower.
1910.
Higher.
1915.
Higher.
I wish we had could do a lot of... 1952. See, I got worse at the game.
Lower.
In the
1923.
What? Wow. First so Butterfinger. The Butterfinger caused the Depression. Or World War One, one of those.
Depression started. No, both of those are inaccurate. The Depression started in like 1929.
Right.
Yeah.
It took a few years for this peanut butter crispity crunchity stuff to mess up the world.
Do you think the 20s will be roaring?
When was the Fifth Avenue bar created?
I will find out.
I bet you it's some kind of like 60s, some kind of renaissance of America, rebirth of the passion in a people for what is deliciousness and good in the world that they live in. Some kind of, you know, a world of burning bras and just hanging boobies, just free to breathe in a humid musk air of some Woodstockian field of communeness.
I would eat a candy called Hanging Boobies.
Right? What would it, I feel like it would
1936.
Be 1936. Like, yeah. Yeah. It the saved us from the Great Depression, the Fifth Avenue bar. That's what it did. That's what it did. Yeah, got nothing to say to that, Miller. It,
candy appeared in 1994 sci-fi movie Stargate and the 1998 Seinfeld episode The Dealership.
Yeah.
Those are the sort of trivia that is Wikipedia worthy.
Yes.
Let's look up second funniest podcast.
But we have a Wikipedia, but it seems like
no,
convoluted.
We have a wiki. We don't have a Wikipedia.
Oh.
Second funniest.
Well, how do you get a Wikipedia?
Somebody has to create an entry.
Do you need 2,000 likes by the end of August?
Oh, dun, dun, dun. We made it. We haven't discussed that.
I know.
Oh, funny enough, Second Funniest Podcast does not have a page, but Kevin Miller, voice actor, does.
Yes, as it should be.
I have not created that. You're not on
as
here,
it should be. I don't have a Wikipedia.
There's a whole, like, I don't even know what this is from. Here, you're going to learn about me.
All right.
Kevin Miller, born December 21st, 1977 in Minot, North Dakota, is an American voice actor. Miller moved to San Jose in 1997. I don't know if that's accurate. starting his business in voice acting
the year after he graduated high school.
Yeah, exactly. Miller is famously known as the voice of Sly Cooper, a main character of the video game series of the same name. That's all one link. Mm-hmm. He has also worked for Sega, Namco, the Learning Company, Sony, Paramount, and others via Webtone, which has a link that does not exist. He also performs in live action as an improviser within the comedy troupe Comedy Sports and Unscriptables, and an audio in the Second Funniest Podcast series. It has a link. What happens when
wow.
I click on that? It takes me to our website.
Wow. Look at that. I feel like you being my best man should also be a credit.
I think so. I think I need to update that. I feel like somebody took my website from like 5 years ago and just slapped it up there and made up details that they didn't know.
I also like that they're like, we're going to tell you his life story. He was born in this place, in this area, and then we're going to jump ahead 20 years.
Yeah. Point of mind is an American voice.
No mention of pound puppies.
No, super pups.
Kind of a what?
Born December 21st in Minot, North Dakota. Like, that's the most uninteresting part of my life. I don't know. Maybe it's that interesting.
I don't know. Clearly, this person believes that your birth was very interesting. It's the first 18 years that was, you know, a little like, I don't know.
1997. I didn't move to San Jose in 1990. I didn't move till like 2002. I started going to San Jose State in 99. I don't even think I stepped foot in San Jose.
But you went to high school
in Fremont. San Jose. No,
oh, I
Fremont.
See what you're saying. I thought they were saying in the Bay Area.
I didn't even go to school.
You've never lived in San Jose.
I lived in Campbell.
Yeah, not San Jose.
I would have accepted that as like a suburb, but that was 2002, right? When did we move down here?
Did you move before or after I got married?
It was 2002.
I was remember. After I got married.
Here's a great story. It has nothing to do with our show at all.
Oh.
I do a new improvised show, new to me, called The Society. Mm-hmm. You can look them up, thesociety.com. I think it's .com.
Sounds classy.
We wear suits. But it's all fully improvised, and there's a couple guys that are from the Provo, Utah troupe that have started it. And so they made friends with a dude named Will Rubio, who joined the...
Rubio!
Exactly.
That's a Hook reference for those of you born after 1986.
And then there were skateboards. So we're hanging out, and I was like, hey, so what comedy sports did you go to? And he's like, oh, Provo. I was like, oh, great. He's like, you? I was like, yeah, I was part of San Jose for a long time. He goes, oh, San Jose. Do you know Courtney Pong?
What?
Right. So Courtney Pong is some, and I kind of ruminated on this
She's
later.
She's been on the show.
She has been on the show.
Yeah.
Courtney Pong is literally somebody the closest we could come to is taking credit for discovering her.
Yeah.
She was in an audition that we held. We nearly, I don't know if she knows this, but we nearly cut her halfway through the audition and kept her on because she started to like get comfortable and show her true colors. And then she was your right-hand woman for years doing Unscriptables.
Outstanding, amazing.
Moved
Easy
over.
On the eyes.
moved over to San Jose.
You're just going
to
glaze over that? You're just going to glaze over the fact that she's attractive?
She is attractive. I just, it's like, it's one thing to hit on, you know, women you've never met, but like, Courtney Pong is a good friend of ours.
And we're not hitting on her. We're saying that she's easy on the eyes. Why, why can't you compliment a lady?
She is very, I just wouldn't put it like that. Easy on the eyes is something I say about like a little eyes candy. She's a pretty girl.
I see what you're saying, is that that creates discomfort. So if I said I'd hit it.
Yeah, that's...
Is that better?
That's better. Much,
okay, good.
Far better.
Okay, good. That's what I'm here. I'm going to fix.
So
we,
she,
by the way,
on,
have had 3/4 of a bottle of champagne.
We're going to finish it by the end of the show.
Yeah.
So she goes on to San Jose and becomes just as important there, if not more so, and is now known...
Jeff stole my right-hand lady.
Yeah, well, you closed your show.
Huh?
You closed your
because
show.
Because he stole my right-hand lady.
That's the wrong
Unscriptables
order.
Couldn't happen without Courtney Pong.
You've been doing
her
a lot
beauty
of,
is what filled that Beyer High School little theater.
You are acting. Right now, what's some other acting you've been doing lately?
Well, I also have been taking a transition course, much like you, Mr. Miller. We did.
I write a segue after work.
I shot a movie, the movie that I'm playing Jimmy Kimmel. It's called Not Another Celebrity Movie. And it was interesting.
That first part of that title sounds very familiar.
Yeah, because they do the Not Another Superhero and then they did Not Another Teen.
What was Not Another Superhero movie?
They had a guy like the Spider. It was about the time that they made all the Spider-Man movies. It
was that the first one?
Not Another Superhero movie?
The Not Another whatever.
Yes.
I thought Not Another Action movie.
No, Not Another
movie.
Teen movie was the first.
Oh.
Then came Not Another Superhero.
What was the one that was doing like Armageddon and all those movies and Anaconda? Oh. Somebody
Maybe
else
that's
was
a
doing
different one.
A ton of parodies all at the same time.
Oh.
I'll look it up. You tell your story.
Well, Scary Movie was the one that they get confused with.
No, it's
but that's not
them,
part
but,
of the Scary Movie
but I'll look
series.
It up.
But anyway, so they're doing one to make fun of Valentine's Day and New Year's Eve, and Daddy plays Jimmy Kimmel, and it was interesting.
Just so we're all clear, Daddy is Justin.
Yeah.
Continue.
It was interesting because I just have a couple of stories that they call us in all at the same time.
2 hours later.
Oh, speaking of which.
Are we rolling?
Yeah. Be even worse if we weren't.
Here. Well, I don't know. This has been pretty loose and unimportant so far.
So I get in there. I go early because the entire makeup department has quit the day before. So you go in. Usually
Sweet.
You go in when you go on a shoot. You arrive on location, as they call it, on set, if you would. They have a couple trailers, one for wardrobe, one for makeup and hair. And then if you're big enough on the ladder, they have one for you. Daddy was not big enough to have his own trailer. He was not big enough to have his own room in a four-room trailer.
Hmm.
However, he was big enough to warrant his own room on set. So that was, I thought, was interesting. Now, the extras are kept in an area that they call like a corral, where they keep the background people, which I think is hilarious, too. And they explained to me when I got there that this production was notorious for calling everybody in at the same time. And then everybody would be there for 14 hours. Some people not
that
even
sucks.
Shooting. They would not even get a shoot it because I think it's that they weren't sure what they were going to get to and what they weren't going to get to, and they had a limited time frame, so they wanted the director
in the call.
The director wanted everybody to be there just on a moment's notice in case he's like, "Let's do this now while we're here."
That's
I guess. So, but anyway,
Let's
I got
get him
to sit
on the line.
In.
Beep boop beep boop boop. You're dumb. Go on.
I screw you. This rat is a better actor than you.
That's true.
I'm in the trailer with a lady that looks like Angelina Jolie and the gentleman that looks like Robert De Niro. And this was by far one of my favorite moments on the shoot. The lady that looks like Angelina Jolie said, "I have 2 days between this and my next project now." And I think it's hilarious.
Because it had taken so long. Because
they had an extra day of shooting. That's it. It was just that the joke amongst the crew was that we are on day 17 of 16 is what it actually said on the call sheet. Day 17 of 16.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. So so she was saying, "I have 2 days," and really all she was saying this for was so that she could explain how she was going to walk the streets of Los Angeles.
You could sense that in what she was saying, that she had more story to tell.
I only have 2 days. It's like that story that we've told on the show, the Klingon guy's like, "Oh, geez.
Yeah.
Oh, man." She was kind of doing that a little bit. And so then she goes, I have 2 days to walk the streets to learn how to pick up men. Now, if you're an Angelina Jolie lookalike, guess what? You're a little easy on the eyes. But you're also like
above or below Courtney Pong?
Below, in my opinion.
Go on.
Because there's a beer goggle situation with a lookalike in a female setting. So if you're a look-alike in Angelina Jolie, if you look just like Angelina Jolie, then chances are it's like Jim Gaffigan has that joke where he didn't like the movie Monster Ball because he's like, she kept complaining about how broke she was and working at the diner. And I just felt like if she would just get some pictures together and get herself out there, like she could be a real Halle Berry type, make a run at modeling kind of thing. So there's a little bit of that. Not that she wasn't gorgeous or beautiful, but you know, you can't look exactly like the chick, because if you look exactly like the chick, then you probably could have close to the same career as the chick kind of thing. But so she just wanted to say that she's going to walk around because she's method and she's playing a hooker in this next movie that she's doing. And she wants to know, she wants to know what it is, how she can pick, she has to learn how to pick up men in 2 days. And so
she needs
her boyfriend and a friend walk around, watch her drive around in a car following her to make sure she doesn't get stolen or taken advantage of, if you would. And watch her try to figure out how to be a hooker on the streets of Los Angeles.
I can't imagine it'd be very difficult.
Now, this is what I think is funny about it, is that if you watch The Tonight Show, right, and you hear Tom Cruise.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of him?
Mm.
Talk about this similar thing. You kind of go, what an eccentric guy, right? But you can't help but think.
No, I would think he's nuts.
Yeah? A little bit?
Oh, absolutely. If anybody says, I need to get in to do something.
What about
like
Daniel Day-Lewis with his insistence of being the character? Or Jim Carrey being a man over the moon was constantly Andy Kaufman when he was on set.
I understand that. That's different, though. He's on set. And so to not break out, because there's a little bit of like, I get that, of powering down to power back up.
Yeah.
I find it. You see that in a lot of acting, like characters in intense scenes that have to cry on cue. Like, okay, well, I can't be joking around right before that.
Yeah.
I have to get
they
in
get
the headspace.
By themselves. And
yeah, that's different. But to be like, I have to do prep work to learn. And I understand researching a role. That's all very realistic. But to figure out something, like, watch another movie about it.
Yeah.
Like, watch something on Cinemax and you're going to get the idea.
Right.
Because I guarantee that if she had not done a single day of research and done 10 days of research, her progress was not going to improve.
Right. Well,
she had a pretty good idea of what a prostitute was going to behave like before she walked out onto the street.
Well, she said that there's a walk, which I thought was interesting, and I thought it was a valid point. She goes, there's something about their walk that says, I am a lady of the night. Like, she didn't use this phrase.
Yeah.
But she's essentially saying there's something specific about the walk that says, I am a lady of the night, that no matter how they dress, that men pick up on and go, oh, that's a pro.
I guarantee if she knew that existed, I can find it in 15 minutes using YouTube.
Right. But then there's also this part of me that's listening. As much as I want to make fun, and I thought it was hilarious that I, like, for this, what is probably, you know, $300, but then there's a part of me that's like,
she'd make more money actually prostituting herself.
Yes, bingo. Ding, 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 ding. But there's also this part of me that's like, well, why is it that I'm looking at her judging, like, what if she just really loves what she does, right? And she just really wants to do a good job. And I think you're right. Like, to me,
I think you're giving her too much credit. It comes from her insecurity. She is not secure in her ability to act. So she has to prepare herself mentally and emotionally by giving herself a stupid task, like having to dedicate 2 or 6 days to doing something that is not possible, of training herself by watching other women or walking around doing it. That's all to give herself comfort to think that she's got it, when really, she's got the part.
Well, and to me, I feel like the real movie that needs to be made is the movie of her learning to be a hooker.
Yes.
That's the real movie.
I love this movie already.
The real movie of her being Diane Fossey. And there's, you know, bitches in the mist.
I just wrote the first act. So this is great.
Up, she walks
turning point, second act, and we're out.
Star I call wife. This one Destiny, because that is her given name. She's chosen for herself to protect the anonymity of her parents, of her knowledge of her profession on Facebook.
So what is the name of that film that she's working on?
She said something like Friday Night something or other. I can't. She did say it. I think it was Friday Night Fright or something, I want to say. It sounded like a horror movie. And then the guy who played Robert De Niro at that point said, he goes, you know, I really admire what you're doing. He goes, I did that for a homeless role where I went out and I lived on the streets for a couple days just to get an idea of what it's like.
Now that, I buy.
Like, really?
Yeah. Because That's very different. Like, to know the depending on what level of the work he was going to be doing, I wouldn't go that extreme, but I would have a conversation with some homeless people, because I think if you're like me, or I think anybody maybe listening to the show, if you own an iPod and download podcasts, you probably haven't had a lot of exposure with legitimate homelessness, mm-hmm. and it isn't what my perception was until I started working at a church in Hollywood, of like there's a different mentality of it, and it isn't that they're lazy necessarily, although that definitely plays into it. there's a complete misconception from them of what it means to be rich and what it means to be well off. Like, they pretty much assume that everybody else has a better life than they do. Like, just recently, I have this buddy that I have made friends with, and he pitched an idea for a homeless housing project. I was like, that's a very good idea. He then went from there and told I don't know how many guys, and I've been shooing people away from the church that come up and go, oh, I hear that you're starting a homeless housing project, because the original guy is under the impression that all he needs
to do... You, Kevin Miller, are going to fund this.
Yeah, is just say it. Like, finally, I found somebody with the means. Like, he doesn't... has no understanding. Like, a kid has no understanding that there are different layers of, like... Sure, there are churches that could do that. There's a rich guy out there that'd be like, I like what you got to say. That's not me. And he has no ability to see the difference between that.
Do you think it's
that's just an example.
A perspective or relative issue, where it's like, if I look at somebody who's pulling in $500,000 a year, and I think, well, they could easily accomplish more than what I have.
Of course.
To go
but
on.
Think about the difference between I make that much money and the ability to start a homeless housing project.
Right.
Like, I got houses coming out my ears.
Yeah.
Or that the church that I work at, this tiny little, like, look at the church. We clearly don't own the building. It take 2 seconds.
To you. That's what I'm saying, though.
That's my whole point.
There's an element of relativity.
That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Is that they don't, I'm saying.
They see somebody who's lower middle class, and they go, that's the same way that you and I would see somebody who is making $500,000 a year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I would know enough to know you can't start a homeless housing project.
Because you're middle class, right? Yeah, I mean, don't you think?
Absolutely.
I don't know how we got onto this subject.
My point was that, yes, I get.
I have ruined everything.
That you would want to research that, because it is a subculture within America.
Well, in my head, all I thought was, I don't belong here. That's what I thought. I thought that this is not a place that
let's land on that.
These people are talking about pretending to be hookers and pretending to be homeless for the sake of pretending to be homeless and hookers on camera.
And that's the thing what I deal with working at a church in Hollywood. So many people have their hopes and dreams tied into not God, but into the idea that they're going to be famous and rich. And the truth is, the path to get there, and even the final destination, is not glamorous.
Mm-mm.
It's like, you're like, I want to be in the movies. Really? You like watching movies.
Yes.
Because that's the fun part. Making them is what you've been describing. Spending 16 hours a day sitting in makeup, complaining about not getting food and not getting paid enough, having to dress up like a prostitute and walk down the street for $200, and that's movie making.
Not counting the endless amounts of rejection that you have to deal with and go through, no paycheck, knowing where it's coming from the next week to the next day.
Having to deal with everybody out for themselves, shystering each other, out jockeying each other. Somebody could be your best friend and push you to the ground running to get to the part ahead of you. It's not a glamorous industry.
No.
It's not pretty, no matter how you slice it.
Well, and it's funny because I remember thinking, like, wow, I bet you I could bang this out pretty quick today. And then I said, because I did that drive time commercial, and it was a 14-hour day. And that was for a 30-second spot.
Wow.
And then I was like, oh, well, I'm only doing 2 lines in this film. A film has to be more organized than a commercial. And it was not. Like, not that I was necessarily complaining either. I had a good time out there screwing around with people. But that joke of hurry up and wait is, there's no hyperbole in that. There's like,
yeah.
They're like, get here at 2 o'clock so you could stand around for literally 8 hours doing nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. And hurry up and get in the makeup chair so we could get you all dolled up so you could stand around and wait for something to happen and nothing. And but it was that part of it was really fun. And then the girl that played Paris Hilton brought her daughter there. And that was the other interesting element of it, is that there were people. That's a whole other thing that I forgot about. The these people I was talking to, I always glom onto the production people. Even when I do the commercial shoot, like I don't really team up with the actors. I like the production people. Those are my people. And I'll make jokes and, you know, and make them laugh and stuff like that. Well, there was a girl there who was playing Lady Gaga, and she was like, just kept walking around saying, I'm bored. Now, this is an adult. This is an adult, a grown person who is complaining that I'm bored, as if to say, you people around me must do something about it. But not really being that aware of that expectation.
Yeah,
that
it's like.
And so when she'd walk away.
That's what I like to call homeschool.
Yeah. I go, who does that? Who? You're an adult. Entertain your own damn self.
Yeah.
Pick up your phone. Tweet something.
Get a PS Vita.
Yeah. Tweet that you're bored. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. That a gamer's never bored, really.
We're never bored.
Yeah.
I'm looking for excuses to not have to talk to you.
And so. So, that, you know, you have that whole thing where you're sitting around all day and you know, chatting. And then the girl who played Paris Hilton had her kid there, and she felt like they needed to provide childcare. I paid for a sitter for my kids, which it cost me more money in babysitting than it did making that day to shoot it, I'm sure, or close to. And it's just this weird sense of entitlement that the production people told me. They said at this level of film, you find that there are more egos because there are more people trying desperately to act like what they think people at a higher level are at.
Yeah,
she said, usually the people at the higher level are very nice,
with
the exception of Olivia Munn, from what I understand. She's the only exception. And Jeremy Piven, but that's not a firsthand story that I've heard. But I've heard firsthand that Olivia Munn is a snatcheroo when the camera is off.
And on. You know, also is a terrible person. The Facebook lady.
Oh,
she had some terrible things to say.
Really?
Last time we were here, we didn't know whether or not we were going to be able to make it.
And they missed her comments.
She said
she's angry. She's bitter that we did it.
She gave herself all the credit for getting the 1,000 fans.
What?
That was it. She
How
said,
dare she?
If it wasn't
this
for
is
her,
all you, Kevin Miller.
Yeah, it's all
she's stealing from your thunder.
Exactly. So
she is the bridesmaid to your bride.
She said she's going to tell her sister, the iTunes lady, that we've got to get 1,000 downloads by the end of the month. I don't know if she's really got a sister named the iTunes lady, but, I mean, that bitch came and went, so maybe she's real. Maybe she is the iTunes lady. I don't know. In any case, if you're listening to this...
We need 1,000 downloads per episode.
per minute, per day.
Per day. Well, then, that'll
Make
be
it
rough.
Happen. I just Googled...
That's an interesting pictures you have on your...
It's your movie.
My movie?
Yeah, it's not another
Oh, that was the other
movie.
Story. The other part of the story was that everybody was looking up on IMDb...
To see if it's
the movie that it was finally put up there.
Yeah.
And Brie Olson, is a adult film star and actress, is the highest star in the movie. And everybody was complaining because she is not the star of the film. She has
a part
smaller than mine.
Yeah.
And the director had this great joke over dinner where the guy who's playing George Clooney is like, have you seen the IMDb? Brie Olson is listed as top billing. And then he goes, that's because she's a better actress than all of you.
Nice. She's a porn star. Here's what it says. Daniel Owens Reed, Cheryl Lerone, Baron J, and Vita Guerrero have joined the cast of Not Another Celebrity Movie, a new spoof flick from director Emilio Ferreira,
that's
Baby
him.
On Board, But I Am a Cheerleader. Filming commenced in the States this week on the comedy, which has Charlie Sheen getting the idea that Justin Bieber is his biological son and recruiting famous friends like George Clooney and Donald Trump to help him kidnap the Beeb. Owens Reed, she's a gal, plays Bieber. So a woman plays Justin Bieber? Interesting.
It's a lesbian-looking kind of chick.
Guerrero, a Cuban...
Oh, my gosh.
Here, that's the best episode we've ever done.
No.
A Cuban glamour model is playing Rosalita, Charlie Sheen's housemaid. Liona has been cast as music's baddest romantic, Lady Gaga. And Jay is playing Kanye West. Chelsea Wallace, Bradley Gailey, Scott Cooper, Ryan, Tori Black, John DiMacchio, and Lena Godhouse are also on board.
Oh, thank goodness they got Godhouse.
Yeah, no kidding. Other characters to appear in the film include Ashton Kutcher, Jimmy Kimmel,
what?
Justin Timberlake, Oprah Winfrey, Paris Hilton, Robert De Niro, Russell Crowe, Usher Raymond, and Mark Wahlberg.
Nice. Ray Romano's on there? Is that what they mean by Raymond?
No, they said, did I say Raymond?
Yeah, Usher, Raymond, and Mark Wahlberg.
I think it's just Usher.
They meant to be a comment.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
But I met Usher. Well, and here's the thing, too. Just This is more the champagne talking, but I did think it was interesting. I did a little bit of improv after the lines because he didn't say cut. Yeah. So I would do some improv with the guy playing Charlie Sheen is a very funny comedian. He's a guy who got me the role. He was on America's Got Talent, Dave Burley, very good impressionist, does a dead on Charlie Sheen. And we would do some improv after our lines were supposed to be done. And one of the crew people came up and said, well, thank you for doing something funny on this movie, which makes me scared that if the guy who's got two lines comes in on one day.
Those are people working the 17th day on a 16-day shoot. Yeah, they're bitter and angry.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think that it'll... because it seemed like there was some funny stuff going on and they know what they're doing.
Do you have a release date yet?
No. All I know is that it's guaranteed 300 theaters.
I want to know the release date. When is the release date?
July 22nd, 2012.
That is not cool.
Yeah. What they accuse us of? Flounder? What? Fishing?
Trolling. We were trolls.
Scrap. I would like your likes on my Facebook page.
Me hearties. All right. Well, that was our worst show ever. And we apologize for it, but... You can give us a call. Tell us about it at 408-228-4911 or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Keep telling, spread the word. Remember, we need 1,000 downloads per day. Otherwise, Facebook Lady will shut down our Twitter account. So figure out how those are all connected. And on behalf of my good friend Kevin Miller, this is Justin Worship saying,
okay, bye.